It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Following the introduction by Dr. Stephen Jones, we'll hear a message by the late founder of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., recorded on July 21, 1957. The title of his message is, What Will You Do With Jesus? The text is from Matthew 27, verses 1 through 24.
Each semester we try to have one opportunity to expose you to either the founder's ministry or to Dr. Bob Jones Jr.'s ministry, my grandfather. And this morning, I want to have a sermon for you from my great-grandfather from Matthew 27. So go ahead and take your Bibles out and be turning there, Matthew 27. And the title of the message is, What Will You Do With Jesus? At the close of the message, he will close in prayer. And when he says amen, we'll be dismissed. But before we go to the recording, let me point out a couple of things. Let me first of all thank you and congratulate you for the behavior during the artist series last week. One of my great-grandfather's burdens in founding the university was, first of all, to expose the student body to culture, and you got that, but also to expose the student body to cultured living and how to act. He said in his day, the trick was for a person, especially a man, to get in and out of a woman's parlor for an official visit gracefully. We don't usually have an official parlor and greetings like that today, but we still do need to know how to comport ourselves in different settings. And it does show to those people who are used to those settings. The artists commented on how nice you all looked, how well you behaved. They enjoyed the interaction with the audience from a distance and then afterwards. And so thank you very much. It was a good testimony for the Lord and for the university as well. So thank you for your good behavior. Do be prepared with your Bible open and your notes out for the message this morning.
I'm reading a few verses of the 27th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now, I'll skip some verses about Judas Iscariot bringing back the money and throwing it down, said he'd sinned against innocent blood. All right. Now, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, You're right. Oh, thou sayest. That's right. That's right. Okay? That's what I am. All right. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered them nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word. Insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Everybody marvels about Jesus. They still do. There's no human explanation of Jesus Christ. If the Bible isn't the explanation, there is no explanation. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to raise unto the people a prisoner whom they would. They had the power of choice. They'd say, now release unto us so-and-so. And that was the occasion. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? And he knew that for envy they had delivered him. He was able to size up the situation. He knew there wasn't anything against the Son of God. He knew it was a false charge. And when he sat down on the judgment seat, his wife said to him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Now that's religion speaking. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil has he done? But they cried out more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. These verses of the 23rd chapter of Matthew, they always grip my heart with such strange, peculiar emotion. I can't describe it. Now, this is the text. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Will you take Jesus or Barabbas? They took Barabbas. You know why? He was a man. Jesus was God. Do you know the world, ever since Jesus was born, has been trying to trim him down to the size of a man? He wasn't the son of Adam. He was the seed of the woman and the son of God. And when he came to this earth, he was God manifest in the flesh. And men don't like to have God too near to them or in front of the holy God. Jesus never had to confess sin. He had no sin. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Look at me and you'll see God. I am God. And you've got to believe that or go to hell. Unless you believe I am, you'll die in your sins. Look me over now. Check me carefully. And folks don't like God around. You know, I hear people talk about man's quest for God. He's looking for God. He's looking for God. All the time looking around for God. That isn't so. Why, man's not looking for God. God's looking for man. And when God gets to the man, then the man wants to run away from God. You're not looking for God. If you seek the Lord, you'll find him if you seek him with your whole heart. Man's trying to run from God. Why, when Jesus Christ comes back again, people are not going to, except saved people, they're going to run up into him in the air, climb up an invisible stairway when they see him coming. And the dead will come up out of the grave, and living saints arise, and they'll meet him. But you wait. Other people will be fleeing to mountains and saying, mountains fall on us, and hills hide us from the presence of God. Man's always trying to run away from God, not running to God. No man can come to God except by the pulling power of the Holy Ghost, for man's Adamic nature pulls him away from God. Now, man's an immortal being. He's got to live somewhere forever. He can't be satisfied without God. Money can't satisfy. Pleasure can't satisfy. Honor can't satisfy. The world can't satisfy. He's never going to be satisfied. The rich man in hell wasn't satisfied. He didn't even have a drop of water to quench his thirst. And he couldn't keep his brothers from coming and wanted somebody to stop him. He wasn't satisfied. No sinner's ever satisfied. There's no contentment for the unconverted people. They're discontented. They're immortal. They've got to live forever, and they're not satisfied unless they get hold of that which is last, that which is imperishable, that which is eternal. But they're gone. Man doesn't want God. He's a rebel against God. He comes into this world striking as he grows to maturity, understanding back at God's command. He defies God and walked out of a garden and turned his back on God, and so it's been down the age. Now, man is trying to trim God down so man can take God. That's the religious movement of our day. Let me tell you something. The greatest peril that faces America today is a religious peril. The line of demarcations being rubbed out between those men that would exalt God and men that would trim him down to the low level of human nature. They want to trim Jesus down. They said he's a man. And he claims to be God. And they killed him for that. They put him on the cross because he claimed to be deity. They wanted to trim him down to that level. And when he said, which one do you take? They said, give us a sinner. You can keep company with him and feel comfortable. We are sinners. You deny you are sinners. Yes, I know, but you know you're liars. You know you're sinners. The deity of man, the divinity of human nature. Fosdick, I think it was, said that, yes, Jesus is divine, and so was my mother. Spark of divinity. I'm a little God, you know. Devil told me would be, you know. God, he said, like God, you can. Set yourself. Be independent. Don't have to kowtow to even God Almighty. He's got a right to tell you what to do. Why don't you? You can be God. The fool tried it. That's the reason the world's filled with graveyards. You have to have prisons to take care of criminals. and jails for juvenile delinquents, and courts of law to hold people in line, to keep them from killing each other and not being possible for them to even live together. That's the reason you got world chaos. Yeah. Jesus said you'd die in your sin. So he said, all right now, which one? Barabbas. Yeah, he's a sinner. We don't feel comfortable with him. He's a sinner. Isn't it strange what folks do? If you can be comfortable in fellowship with sinners, you're a sinner. Sin separates men from God, and even Christians get out of fellowship when they sin. I'm not uncomfortable around sinners when I'm a sinner. I'm uncomfortable when I say I've sinned against God. He's high above me. I don't want to get too close to him, because the closer I get, the more miserable I get till I get right with him. And so it goes. You take Barabbas? Yeah. He's the son of Adam. Yeah, that's right. Not the son of God. Yes, he's a man, yes. And a bad man. I can understand him. I know what sin is, too. I won't admit it, but I do know it. It takes a sinner to make me comfortable at all. I don't want to be around good folks. Be around bad folks. I'm never happy as sinners are around bad folks. Somebody asked us one time about Bob Jones University, and we said, well, it's the best place in the world for good folks, but very uncomfortable place for sinners. Why, you say, nobody wants to go to hell. Yes, they do. Or they wouldn't go. They gravitate to hell. Like a sinner gravitates to prison and gravitates to the dregs of human society. It's a downward, gravitating, degrading something in man. Think of it. There stood a prisoner brought to the bar of justice. Somebody that claimed to be God and said that he made all things and loved everybody. And the judge on the bench said, well, you know, it's a day when I can give you somebody. How about giving you him? They said, we take Barabbas. Do you know you can judge a church by the kind of preacher it chooses? A deeply spiritual, well-taught body of saints of God can't tolerate a modernist in the pulpit. A church that lets a modernist in his pulpit, his pastor, is a church that's deteriorating and has sunk to a level where a gospel preacher wouldn't suit it. All of this mixed multitude of the day is an indication of the condition on which we live. When I was a boy, you answered every question in the realm of a religion with a verse of Scripture. And the matter came up, we said, what's the Bible say about that? We've been recently under attack. We're not attacking, we are under attack. The position of Bob Jones University, which it has held since it was founded over 30 years ago, an institution that was founded for a definite purpose, to keep a line of demarcation between Orthodox and modernism, is under attack today as never before. Under attack. What a world. I've had some time to do some thinking around on this trip. And I've come to the conclusion today that the tendency of man to exalt man rather than to exalt God makes it perfectly clear how the world's going to accept the Antichrist when he comes. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name, and you won't accept me. But some of these days, somebody's come in his own name, and you're going to accept him. The world is going to accept a man sometime in the place of God and deify that man. That's the Antichrist. This Antichrist will deny the Father and the Son, and he'll sit on a throne and have miraculous satanic power. And he'll be the man's choice instead of God. All you've got to do is to read the Bible. Listen, you can believe the worst about the world by simply stopping to say there's never been but one sinless person that ever lived on this earth. And the world spat in his face. Had the crown of thorns on his brow. Beat him into a pulp. What has done to Jesus to kill anybody except Jesus? You couldn't kill him. What was done to him would have killed anybody before he ever got to the cross. He said, you can't take my life away from me. I lay my life down, I take it again. You can't take it. And he went up that hilltop and laid his life down. But the blood of the Son of God is on the hands of man. And somebody's coming sometime, the Antichrist, he may be alive today. They're going to accept him. He'll come as a nice fella. He'll be an angel of light. He'll talk sweet and humble and lovely and beautiful, nice. He'll give us a world religion, and that's where we're headed now. A world religion. Everybody together have a big religion. And let's us fix it up like it ought to be fixed. Like we want it fixed. We'll trim God down to suit us. Why can't we have enough sense? No man's been doing that all the time. What kind of gods do they have in heathen lands? They make their own gods. Man's pulling down, trying to pull God down. Down! Come off of your throne and be one of us. We are gods too. One thing about these people, here in this 27th chapter of Matthew, they did choose a fellow that didn't claim to be anything but a sinner. The Antichrist is going to claim to be God, but he'll be a sort of God, since then. He'll be anti-God, but he'll be a human God. So they made the choice. Well, you say that was 2,000 years ago. Now, wait a minute. Let's come up to date. Who was represented here? There were three classes of people represented in this group. First, the democracy was there. Democracy. Throngs of people, class of people, politicians and religious leaders, common folks and all the rest of them, mingled together. A democracy it was. And democracy, what do you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Crucify him! Democracy said. There isn't a nation that ever lived. The nation was represented here. Government was talking here. This was government speaking. Democracy and government. There isn't a government that ever lived that ever accepted Jesus Christ. He came under his own, and they wouldn't receive him. But as many as received him, he gave them the right or the authority. The individual would take it. Government. United States of America has never accepted Jesus Christ. This is the best country in the world. They'll persecute you if you accept the Christ of the Bible. You'll get lied about and persecuted, but they can't put you in jail for it in America. Have religious liberty. Any citizen that wishes to can accept Jesus Christ and not be put in jail for it. And the Christ of the Bible. Or you can trim him down to your level if you want to. And say he was not born of a virgin. He just liked anybody else. He was a mystical sort of person. The United States government won't put you in jail for saying that against Jesus. Now, I'm not reflecting on the government. I'm just stating the fact as it is. This isn't a Christian country. Oh, it's a wonderful thing we live in a country where we can be Christians. And Christian influences have affected us, all this nation, it's affected government and society and politics and everything else and business. Everything's been affected by Christianity. But there is no Christian government on earth. America lets you be Christian, a Unitarian, Trinitarian, Christian Scientist, Roman Catholic, Protestant, atheist, agnostic, Hindu, skeptic. Government said, what should we do with Jesus? What you going to do with him? And they said, crucify him! We'll take his blood. Democracy, government, and religion was talking. Religion? What do you do with him? Well, if you let us fix him like we want him, we'll take him. We want Christian recognition. We don't believe in the virgin birth. We don't believe in the authority of the Bible, except what we want to believe. I have in my pocket a statement right now, a quotation from a letter I read recently, where a certain man wrote a friend of mine in this audience. This man said in his letter that there are Christian people that accept Christ, but do not accept the authority of all the authority of the Bible. They take what they want. They are testing today the Bible by how they feel. Not how they feel, but the Bible. You're not to test the Bible by your experience. You're to test your experience with the Bible. Men no longer in the realm of religion in a wholesale way test their intellectuality by the Bible. They test the Bible by what I think. And you've got the worst conglomeration and the most helpless situation on this continent you ever had. America's going to hell faster than ever traveled, and nobody on earth is to blame except the people in this country who are supposed to be Christian. There are enough supposedly Christian people in America to save it. They can't even save themselves. They trimmed God Almighty down to human level. They've accepted an imaginary Barabbas instead of the Christ of the Bible. You can't accept Christ unless you accept him in the role which he appears. You have to accept him as he appears in the Bible, because that's all you know about him. Nobody ever imagined him. Some great man said if Jesus Christ wasn't God, he'd worship the man that could imagine somebody like Jesus. He's God. All the God I want. Jesus, you're big enough God to save a sinner. You're the kind of God I'm looking for. I read you were born of a virgin. It doesn't shock me. You must have been born different than anybody else. When you say, he that's seen me has seen the Father, I say, that sounds like it. You sure must be God. When you say, you laid your life down, you take it again, nobody can kill you. It sure sounds good to have somebody like that I can trust to save me. Religion's talking. Religion is so diluted in this country today till people who even claim to be Orthodox say you don't have to be Orthodox. Doctor Jesus up in the Bible to suit yourself. Creates you a sort of a Barabbas that will not be distasteful to you. In your ego, it lets your ego strut it and say, that couldn't be. Or come along and say, I wouldn't do what the Bible says God did. I'm going to fix me a God to do what I did. And you'll go to hell, too. If Jesus Christ tarries, the next 5 years are going to be revealing, testing years on this continent. But the thing has never been as clear to me as it is now. It's the most subtle and most dangerous thing we know. And let me tell you something. These modernists are not Christians. And a man who knows Jesus Christ as his Savior, is born again, will not recognize him as Christian. And the next few years are going to be the years when the line's going to be drawn in this nation of ours. They're trying to create now an imaginary Barabbas. And if man can imagine a man, there'll be something wrong with him. Because man's imagination, according to the Bible, is vain. He cannot see, he cannot understand, he cannot know. If God's ever known by me, he'll have to make himself known to me. And I can't even see his kingdom till he gives me a new nature. Whom shall I release unto you? Religion? Democracy? Government? Barabbas. We'll take a fellow out of jail and a criminal or anybody. We'll take any man before we'll have God. Now, not only was government there, was religion there, and democracy was there, but Pilate was there. What shall I do? He had the responsibility to settle something. An individual was there. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? You're going to face that issue in the next few years if the Lord tarries in a way that this nation has never faced that issue. Certainly not in the lifetime of this generation. You're going to take the Christ of the Bible, or you're going to take an imaginary Christ that man created, like the Barabbas, etc. They're going to choose God's Christ. As he looks down and says, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." You're going to accept Christ who said, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you don't accept me, you die in your sin." Yes, sir. It's Christ or Barabbas. It's Christ or the Antichrist. The line's wrong. And if you give Christian recognition to any man who does not believe the Bible and the virgin birth, the incarnation, the vicarious blood atonement, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, and don't believe what Jesus said about him to his being God, if you give Christian recognition, you can give neighborly recognition. You can give the recognition of a lawyer to a lawyer, a doctor to a doctor, a citizen to a citizen. But if you give Christian recognition to anybody who chooses a Barabbas for Jesus Christ, you are joining in the world movement to set the stage for the Antichrist who's coming, and probably soon. There's going to be an Antichrist. The Jews are going to accept him as a nation. Around the world he's going to be accepted. The Bible makes it plain that this man that's coming someday is going to put on people the mark of the beast so no man can buy or sell that doesn't have that mark. He'll be the greatest genius that ever appeared on this earth. He'll be the greatest man that the devil's ever been able to produce. He'll be satanically empowered. The stage is being set on this continent and in England and around the world for that man. And a generation will be alive that'll have to choose. And you're going to be trapped by the hypnotic power of that great genius unless you are right with Jesus Christ and born again. You know, this thing sort of slipped up on us because we drifted along toward taking things for granted, you know. When I began my ministry, you could say to the folks, "Go join a church. Go to church tomorrow and join a church. Get your church home, dear Christian." But if you say that without any qualifications in this day and time, you're shoving them into the arms of the Antichrist. You can't say that anymore without pushing them into the arms of the Antichrist, your converts. You can say to them, "Now you know Jesus, you're saved. Go to a church that believes the Bible." Don't just say it accepts Christ, because they won't know that. Because even the modernists claim to accept him, but they don't. They accept that Barabbas. It's the Christ they trimmed down to suit their taste. But they'll say, "We accept Christ." They're liars. They accept Barabbas. Not the Christ of the Bible. And you've got to come out and tell them, go to a church that believes the Bible from cover to cover. Believes the virgin birth, the incarnation, and so forth. If you don't do it, you'll shove them into the arms of the Antichrist. And if you go ahead and support unqualified, without any question whatsoever, almost any great denominational church program in America, you'll be supporting movements friendly to the Antichrist. Whom shall you release to us? The God of the universe? We accept thy son. Let it cost what it may. Let the road lead where it may lead. Jesus Christ, Son of God, virgin born, incarnated, died a vicarious death, body rose from the dead. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. This book is God's book with a record forever settled in heaven. It's made things clear to those who want it clear. Whom shall I release to you now? Wait a minute. You better play this thing safe. You folks listening on the air and even this crowd here today, we better be sure about it. Have you counted the cost if you're taking your stand? Oh, Lord God, if we've never done it before, help us today. Unequivocally, let it cost what it may. Let the road lead where it may lead. Help us to say we take Christ, not a scholastic Barabbas, not a false theological person set up in the mind of some theological seminary leader, not some kind of an ecclesiastical Barabbas that will say it doesn't matter whether you're born of a virgin. We accept thy son, the seed of the woman, the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, died to save us. Help us to be true to him and faith to him in all things.
You've been listening to The Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. On today's program, you heard a message by the late founder of BJU, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., recorded on July 21, 1957. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.